Yeah, that one of our experts used the line, and I love this. He says, we're not in the middle of a healthcare system that's failing. We're in the experience of a medical industry in the process of succeeding. So this is working really well for some people. That want, we cover so many great solutions, and like we filmed Ben Greenfield and Dave Asprey, some of the biohackers and some of the, and after I filmed Ben, and we're talking about all this cool stuff, stem cells and peptides, and I love all the exciting new stuff. And after we finished filming Ben, he goes, Jeff, you realize if people would just move their body, get exercise, sunshine, clean water, clean food, and ground, put their feet on the ground, that we're 90% of the way there. I interviewed another doctor who's 72, who looks like he's 50. And we didn't use much of the interview in the film because it was boring. I'd go, you know, what great new vitamins? He goes, I don't really take vitamins. I get a lot of sunshine and I walk and clean water and clean air. And I'm like, okay, what about peptides? And he's, if you get enough sunshine and walking and grounding, your body makes its own peptides.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Easy Conversations podcast, a podcast about having easy conversations. I'm your host, Furkan Dandia. This week's episode, I sit down with filmmaker Jeff Hayes, and we explore why so many people feel stuck in cycles of chronic illness and why meaningful health reform has become so polarized. Jeff shares his journey documenting controversial topics, what it's like to be censored, and why he believes the real story isn't conspiracy, but incentives, especially when sickness becomes profitable. Together, we unpack consolidation across food and medicine, the role of pharmacy benefit managers, PBMs, how insurance influences access to care, and why informed consent matters for medications and treatment pathways. Our conversation also returns to first principles, movement, sunlight, clean food, clean water, and relationships, simple foundations that often get overlooked in modern life. In this episode, we talk about why health has become political, how to depolarize it, what Jeff means by when sickness became profitable, consolidation in food and agriculture and what it does to farmers and ranchers, PBMs, insurance, how pricing incentives shape prescriptions, SSRIs, withdrawal, and the importance of informed consent, why the system may be succeeding as an industry, even if people are suffering, the boring basics that often matter most, movement, sunlight, real food, relationships, and Jeff's Maha film release strategy, and why he's made it free initially for viewers. Jeff Hayes is a veteran filmmaker with more than 3 decades of experience producing both scripted and documentary films. His work often explores controversial and underrepresented issues in health, public policy, and institutional power. He has produced projects such as The Real Anthony Fauci, COVID Revealed, and the Maha Film Series. Please check out all the ways you can find Jeff's work online, including the Maha film release, which is also in the show note captions. Let's just jump right into the episode now. Good morning, Jeff. Welcome to Easy Conversations. Really excited to have you on today and have the opportunity to talk about some of the work you're doing. There's really a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But overall, how have you been?
I'm doing great. Great to be with you. And I like easy conversations. It's the hard ones I try to avoid.
Yeah, it's all perspective, right? And I think we can make the choice whether a conversation needs to be difficult or not. We don't need to engage in the difficult ones, like you said. But tell us a little bit about yourself, especially for the audience that may not know your work. You've got quite the background, and I was just taken aback by some of the work you've been doing over the past few decades. You've been involved in some, would say, controversial things, but just wanted to hear more about it from you.
I've been a filmmaker for 30 years. I've done a lot of documentaries. I do some scripted films. I had a scripted film come out from Paramount this past year, and IFC the year before that. So those are the scripted films I do just for fun. These documentaries, and yeah, I've ventured into controversial topics. I'm drawn to giving a voice to people that don't have a voice. And recently, Bobby Kennedy wrote a book, The Real Anthony Fauci, and that book sold 1 million copies, was on the New York Times bestseller list for 17 weeks, and there still, to this day, has not been one major media review of the book. I optioned the rights to that book and made that documentary, The Real Anthony Fauci, and that, and I also did a bio documentary of Bobby Kennedy that's on Angel Network right now. When in 2004, Michael Moore did his movie Fahrenheit 9/11, I did a conservative response called Fahrenheit 9/11. And that film got, we sold 1 million DVDs before the 2004 election, but it was really targeted to that moment in time. So, you know, I'm a little L libertarian conservative by nature, and then and yet I have a long relationship with Bobby Kennedy, who was Democrat royalty until he was not.
Right.
And so this has put me, I've been banned and I've been censored and I've been shut out of a lot of, during COVID, we did a series called COVID Revealed that pretty much got us banned from Vimeo, YouTube, Facebook, all social media, but it was getting the side out that it normally isn't heard. Mm-hmm. And now Bobby licensed me the brand Maha, Make America Healthy Again. Mm-hmm. And I'm making 4 Make America Healthy Again films. And this, I hoped, would be non-political, but the polarization is so strong that, like, when we talk to governors of blue states, they are happy to adopt the Maha agenda, but they can't call it Maha, because they literally wouldn't get reelected if they show themselves as being Trump adjacent. So it's still a funny atmosphere, but it really is just, what do we need to do to make America healthy again?
I appreciate that. And one of the immediate questions I have is, why is it important for you to give the voiceless a voice? I suppose that's to paraphrase what you said. Why is that important for you?
There's just an unfairness. In 2011, I did a film about the chiropractic profession, of all things. And in 2013, I was Chiropractic Person of the Year. And I'm not a chiropractor. It's, you know, what a strange award. But in the 60s, the AMA set up a committee. It was originally called the Committee on Chiropractic, and then they changed it to the Committee on Quackery. And they surreptitiously started to try to destroy the chiropractic profession. They paid Dear Abby to write articles. They had a book written. A member of the AMA could not be on a bowling league with a chiropractor. It was really an intense campaign. And in 1973, a whistleblower in the AMA sent 500 pages of internal documents about this to the chairman of the American Chiropractic Association, and showed what they knew was happening but couldn't prove. 5 chiropractors sued the AMA. It took 13 years and it went to the Supreme Court, but the AMA was found guilty of conspiring to contain and eliminate the chiropractic profession. And this happened and nobody knew about it. And so if you've ever called a chiropractor a quack or thought of them, just know that was literally bought and paid for. There was an And so here you have the largest drug-free profession of health that was being maligned, and millions of dollars spent to try to erase them. And that film I wanted to make because it was a story that wasn't being told. And this film that's coming out on the 24th, The Truth About Medicine, man, it is just huge. I ended up making it into 16 30-minute chapters that we're showing over 9 days, but it covers everything from peptides to stem cells to cancer to functional medicine, pharmacy benefit managers, the insurance role. There is so much that we've lost control of that we're the sickest country on earth, and we spend more than anybody else. And it's, and once you look at it, it's easy to figure out why. And there are great solutions that are being suppressed or just not being utilized.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And early on, you talked about this. You don't want to make this a political issue, but it has become a political issue for obvious reasons. And we're seeing that everywhere, and even the whole notion of MAHA. But from your perspective, why has it become so political, and why is there so much polarization around it, as you shared that even the governors are willing to buy into it but not endorse it because it would cost them their own positions or their ability to be elected?
Yeah, the reaction to President Trump from the other side of the aisle is predictable. It cracks me up. I'm reading articles in the New York Times. I read the New York Times every day, and there's usually a negative article about Bobby Kennedy, but there's literally been articles in the New York Times talking about how ultra-processed food is good for you. Mm. And I'm like, what? There's articles, you know, about, no, seed oils are really good for you. There's articles, I've read several articles, how glyphosate is not bad. And then, and our key MAHA issues that they're arguing against, just because if this might help Trump, we have to be against it. Mm. Now, a few days ago, Trump signed an executive order making glyphosate a needed for national security, a protected status. Mm. And I'm watching miraculous thing happen today. There's an article in the New York Times saying MAHA turns against Trump. MAHA moms are turning against Trump. And the New York Times is now reporting about glyphosate, that glyphosate is dangerous and bad because Trump did something positive for glyphosate. I'm like, this is spectacular. Now we need the Democrats to support us in these health agendas. And Trump being, in my opinion, on the wrong side of that issue. Thomas Massie is introducing a bill to defund the executive order. Mm-hmm. And now we'll see a bunch of Democrats vote for this Republican-sponsored bill. And it's okay if that's the way. So maybe we can lodge politics from MAHA. Because really that's the only way we're going to win. Mm-hmm. Behind it all is there's a lot of money that wants to keep the system as it is.
Right.
When we made sickness profitable, that broke everything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I do want to get into that. And I agree with you. People's health shouldn't be a left or right issue, but unfortunately that's what it's become. But you also talk about social engineering, the health crisis. What does that mean? And you're obviously stating that there is the financial aspects to it. We can definitely get into that. But what's going on with the social engineering of the health crisis, and why is there a benefit to that?
Yeah, what was really a surprise, one of the films I'm doing is about food and agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And as I went down and filmed the annual branding at the King Ranch in Texas, and we filmed on these great regenerative farms, filmed on Joel Salatin's Polyface Farm. And these farmers love their land. And I watched what happened to them. There used to be 2,000 suppliers of seed. There were lots of places where a farmer could buy seed, 2,000 of them. Now there's 4. And, you know, this consolidation that's happened in the farm input business, the same thing that happens, we have our row farmers, corn, cotton, soy, wheat, who monocrop forming, they have to buy their seed from one place. All of their inputs now come from big companies like Monsanto. And then when they sell their crops, the corn they're growing is not like corn on the cob that you have at a picnic. This corn is like an industrial corn that they sell to big food, who uses it for feed for cattle. They make corn syrup, they make corn solids, they ethanol, all the different things that they make. And so they're controlling the price that the farmer can sell for, and they're controlling the price of the inputs. And once again, there's only 4 or 5 people that they can sell their crops to. So all the consolidation has happened there. So I saw this happen to the farmers. And then I was surprised the same thing has happened to ranchers, where they're the big beef packers and meat processors. There's five of them, one owned by China, one owned by Brazil. I think only two are owned by U.S.-based companies. And these meat packers make 63 cents out of every dollar of that they get for the cattle. And the rancher who had that cow for 18 months is only making 37 cents. And the meat packer keeps that cow for 1 week. And they're taking, but that's the only place that the ranchers can sell it. And the same thing with the input. So they're controlling them and we're squeezing them down. And then when I saw what happened in medicine, we think big pharma is where all the money is going. I didn't realize till we filmed this that big insurance is four times as big pharma. And so there's something called pharmacy benefit managers or PBMs. These PBMs were set up to negotiate prices with pharma on behalf of insurance companies and Medicare, Medicaid to get the lowest price. They started doing deals, negotiating the price up and getting a rebate. Like one of the drugs we looked at, metformin ER, you can buy it wholesale for $25. Medicare, Medicaid is paying the PBMs $1,800 a month for that drug. And the PBM pockets that difference, that rebate. And so there were three or four big PBMs, five total, three really big ones, and they were bought by the big insurance companies. So now it's one vertical line where the big insurance company not only owns the insurance company, they own the PBM that's getting the rebates, and then they own the pharmacy that delivers the drug, the CVS. So they've got the whole chain, and they will raise the price of insurance, saying, hey, your people are using too much insurance, raise the price. Meanwhile, it's going up. The money is filtering to them and the PBMs. So it's the exact same model. You have this consolidation where we don't have competition. We only have three or four big players, and they're squeezing all the money out of this, out of the system. And this, the PBMs decide what level of drug they're reimbursed for. So if you don't pay a big rebate, they don't put you on Schedule One. So this literally affects what your doctor can prescribe and if they can prescribe. It even affects whether you can get surgery or not, because it's more profitable for the insurance company for you to be on an opiate for 9 months before you're finally allowed the surgery than it is for them to give you surgery. And so I was stunned to find out is the same model that's taken over food has taken over medicine. And this is where ultra-processed food is coming from. So meanwhile, you have Bayer bought Monsanto. So you have a drug company that's making these inputs that's going into our food that we believe are causing us illness, but that's okay because Bayer is fine with people being ill because they are in the business of supporting them.
Yeah. And what I'm hearing from you is the chain keeps the patient in that loop, right? And even if there's an incentive to have, and this is, this may sound really bad, but there is an incentive to keep people addicted to opiates, and it's easy to get addicted.
And to keep them addicted to, we looked at SSRIs, and the very popular 25% of the population is on an antidepressant, an SSRI. And I had one psychiatrist who just flat out said, there's no human being that should be on these drugs, period. They don't work, and they have horrific side effects. If they were to be labeled properly, they would be sexual dysfunction drugs is their most likely outcome. And so what I didn't know till we got in this is how many people are addicted to their SSRIs. And when they try to get off of them, they start having horrible symptoms, and their provider will tell them, this just shows how badly you needed this drug. And when the reality is they're just in withdrawal. And nobody knew that this was, hey, by taking Zoloft or Prozac, that now there's a black box warning on them for their suicide and potential suicide and violence.
SSRIs are given to people that are going through alcohol withdrawal, right? So that should just give you an indicator of what these drugs are actually doing.
Yeah, the whole story that your serotonin, there's a chemical imbalance and you're having this depression because of a chemical imbalance, that was made up by the marketing department. It doesn't come from research and it's never been validated. These are, and when we talk about the over-medicalization of children and starting kids on SSRIs as young as 3 and 4 years old, we had one psychiatrist who, as he was getting his license, worked at a hospital where he had 3 and 4 year old patients on SSRIs and eventually left that industry.
Yeah. I don't think people appreciate the excess serotonin actually binds to the dopamine receptor. So then that can affect your ability to feel motivated and do anything. So there's a lot of side effects and people don't necessarily look at those. They're looking for that quick fix. And unfortunately, doctors are prescribing those medications. And to your and point, like the system is designed. Yeah.
They thought they were so safe. It's usually the family doctor that people go see, not a psychiatrist. And the family doctor, here, let me just give you some of this and we'll take the edge off a little bit. And for many people, it starts a downward spiral. And I think people should have access to anything that they want. I also want them to have access to informed consent and know what it is, what the real risks are of what they're putting in their body.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So what do you have to say about the medical system? I know you've touched on it in different ways, but it's spending trillions of dollars and you're talking about some of the downsides, if not, there's many. What are your thoughts around that? What does that say about the medical system's success?
Yeah, that one of our experts used the line, and I love this. He says, we're not in the middle of a healthcare system that's failing. We're in the experience of a medical industry in the process of succeeding. So this is working really well for some people. That we cover so many great solutions, and like we filmed Ben Greenfield and Dave Asprey, some of the biohackers and some of the, and after I filmed Ben, and we're talking about all this cool stuff, stem cells and peptides, and I love all the exciting new stuff. And after we finished filming Ben, he goes, Jeff, you realize if people would just move their body, get exercise, sunshine, clean water, clean food, and ground, put their feet on the ground, that we're 90% of the way there. And I interviewed another doctor who's 72, who looks like he's 50. And we didn't use much of the interview in the film because it was boring. I'd go, you know, what great new vitamins? He goes, I don't really take vitamins. I get a lot of sunshine and I walk and clean water and clean air. And I'm like, okay, what about peptides? And he's, if you get enough sunshine and walking and grounding, your body makes its own peptides. And I'm like, okay, what about stem cells? If you get enough sunshine... And it's, oh, crap, this would make a very short movie if I wanted to make the real truth about medicine. I could probably make it as a 5-minute film that says exercise, sunshine, grounding, clean water, clean food, and healthy relationships.
Yep.
That's like the cure for depression. It's that literally the recipe I just gave you is the single most effective treatment for depression once you add relationships in there. And so that's the formula for human beings. Mm-hmm. Feeling good and being healthy. And now we'll add in stem cells and peptides and great nutrients and stuff. That at least makes me feel like I'm doing something. Yeah. And then avoiding the medical doctor as much as I can.
Meanwhile, to your point and whatever the doctor was telling you, the people's lives have been designed and in such a way that none of the other things are happening, right? So you could take all the peptides and vitamins you want, but people are sitting more inside. They're not going outside. They're not exercising. They're not moving. Their relationships are basically struggling because they're not focusing on their mental well-being. They're stuck in social media algorithms and all kinds of stuff. So everything you're sharing, that's not actually happening, but people are trying to find a fix. It's similar to the depression piece that you were talking about you can cure depression by focusing on these small things rather than getting an SSRI to deal with it.
Yeah. One time I made, in 1 year, I made two series. One was called Attacking Anxiety and the other was called Hacking Happiness. And so we were looking for solutions for people with anxiety. And then what we really all want is happiness. Why don't we make a series on happiness? And halfway through, I interviewed about 40 experts for each one of them. And I realized I was making the same film twice because the solution for anxiety was the solution for hacking your own happiness. And my friend Johan Hari is a great writer. He wrote a book, Chasing the Scream, that on the war on drugs, that was a New York Times bestseller. I optioned the rights to that and made a series that narrated by Samuel L. Jackson called The Fix. And then his next book was called Lost Connections. Mm-hmm. And it was Oprah's favorite book. She originally bought the rights and then that deal fell apart and I optioned the rights for that. The used to be the average person had 5 close friends when they would do the surveys. And now it's less than 1. And when we talk about Make America Healthy Again, mm-hmm. it's easy to focus on medicine. And this series really does look at medicine. And we've looked at previous film, Toxic Nation, on toxins. And mm-hmm. we're going to look at food. But the last one is on trauma and addiction and childhood trauma. And we're never going to be really healthy until we help people deal with the childhood trauma that we all carry and start mm-hmm. to rebuild loving relationships.
Yeah.
Again, I'd like to do a final film that's only 5 minutes long of relationship, sunshine, grounding, clean water, clean food. Go get them.
Yeah. You may not get a lot of viewers for that.
That's it. I'll just watch it myself and remind myself every day.
Exactly. Yeah. So unfortunately, in these types of conversations, the argument that gets presented, and I've brought this up before in this podcast too, is it gets labeled as a conspiracy. Right. And immediately that is, to me, it's a deflection. We're not necessarily talking about facts and trying to educate ourselves and understand things better. We just label things as a conspiracy. And then, yeah. So what are your thoughts around that?
I'm a capitalist at heart, and I was really disheartened as I looked at this. But it's wow, is capitalism bad when it's mixed with health? And this is not capitalism. This is crony capitalism. Mm-hmm. And we've got some big players. And Charlie Munger always talks about incentives. And when you put the incentives in place, you're choosing the outcome. And so we made sickness profitable. You don't have to form a conspiracy. It's businesses are going to seek to make the most profit. When you had the big tobacco companies saw the writing on the wall for tobacco, and so they bought the big food companies and they took their addiction scientist and put them to work on making the food more addictive. They increased the sugar. 32% of the average American's daily calories come from seed oils. Mm. Like 32% of the average American's entire calorie is seed oils. And these seed oils, they got big in the 40s. Back then, it was a replacement for lard. And they tell you, use this Crisco, you can reuse it. They weren't able to get it down to where they could make it a clear oil that you could pour Wesson oil until the late 40s. But in World War II, we needed lard to make bombs. Mm-hmm. And so the War Department took all the lard and women switched to using these seed oils, these vegetable oils. And they're so processed, they turn rancid so quickly that by the time they're bottled, they're already adulterated. And they're so inflammatory, your body has a hard time burning them. And these PUFAs, polyunsaturated fatty acids, your body starts to store them. So our fat stores should be saturated fat. But you get exposed to this, your body starts storing them. And pretty soon you have PUFAs that your body's storing. And we have these people that are covered in fat that their body can't burn. And they're basically starving. And so this is where It's not like some bad guy was sitting in a room twirling his mustache going, here's how I make everybody sick. All of these companies are trying to sell as much of their product as they can. If you and I owned a restaurant, we'd make our food taste as good as we could make it. So customers would come back over and over. And so you just take that and you put that incentive in place. Mm-hmm. And that's where things start to go haywire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And coming back to the capitalism piece, the one thing you touched on is this isn't actual capitalism. You can make the case it's crony, but in its true sense, capitalism is meant to inspire competition where you're going to see innovation. Some corporations fall apart because they can't keep up. So you see a lot of transitory changes taking place in true capitalism, whereas here it's just, it's a monopoly and there's a structure in place that you cannot break, unfortunately.
Yeah, you look at the history of Smithfield Foods. They control about 30% of the pork industry. It was started by a guy named Murphy. And Murphy was a state legislator in, I think, North Carolina. And he passed a bunch of laws to protect himself called Murphy's Laws. But he watched what Purdue and Pilgrim had done with chickens and said, I can do that with pigs, and started industrial pig farming and drove the price so low that he put 20,000 pig farmers out of business in North Carolina. And they have these giant, where these pigs are raised in filth and in darkness and in just industrial pig production, took over that industry. Bobby Kennedy is sued, as an environmentalist, sued Smithfield more than any other company that he sued. I think $600 million that in awards that from Kennedy suits against Murphy, which, and now Smithfield is bought by a Chinese company. But this big industrialized process of processing our food, reducing the quality of our food. And if, you know, my exercise, sunshine, grounding, clean water, clean air relationships, and add to that, probably ought to have a garden. And you probably, if you're in a place where you can, get some chickens and have some meat birds and some egg birds. And I'm a city guy, even though I grew up in West Texas. You won't see me raising a cow. One time I bought a cow for meat, and I told a farmer friend of mine, I bought a cow's being raised for me. And he said, what kind of cow did you get? I said, I got a Jersey cow. And he burst out laughing. I go, what's funny? He goes, Jeff, Jersey cows are milk cows. You don't raise that for steaks. And I'm like, that's how ignorant I am about this stuff. But I'm telling you, if you can grow some of your own food, get your kids, get your hands back in the earth, the closer we get to nature, to God, to the source, the better off we're going to be.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And you've obviously done some work in talking about COVID. And what are your thoughts around that? What are some things you uncovered when you were working in that space? And how does it tie to the things we're already talking about?
Yeah, I've actually filmed, and I'm making I didn't cover vaccines very much. I didn't cover COVID much in The Truth About Medicine, because if you raise this topic, you've got to put it to bed. And so I've done hundreds of hours of filming on it for this, and we're making a separate film about COVID, about the mRNA vaccines, about the, I was sitting with a guy, Dr. Phil was doing a Maha show. And so we were down in Dallas doing prep with his producers for this Maha show. And I'm sitting next to a guy, Kyle, who was a pro mountain biker. He had a YouTube channel with 1.5 million subscribers where he would teach people how to mountain bike on YouTube, which I don't know how you do that, but the YouTube instruction for mountain biking. And he, in order to keep competing, he had to get the mRNA shot. He had a bad reaction to it, but bounced back. And then when he got his booster, he was wiped out. He got myocarditis and he had to retire. He went on his YouTube channel and said, hey guys, be careful. I got the shot and I got myocarditis and it ended my career. YouTube canceled his channel. 1.5 million subscribers gone. And he was censored and silenced. And we're the, as we were sitting there at this event, and they're talking about getting rid of red dye and for the Dr. Phil show. And he leans over to me and he goes, I wonder how much red dye you have to take to get myocarditis. And so there are some big pieces to this puzzle where, and again, I don't want to be all negative. There's things that we can, we cover diabetes and the truth about medicine. And I don't think there's a human being that we, that has type 2 diabetes that we can't get off of their diabetes medications within 90 days using just diet alone. And there are some good solutions out there. The whole COVID, like I filmed Robert Malone, Peter McCullough, David Martin, Christiane Northrup, that'll be coming down. But I think when I did the film COVID Revealed, I'm like, okay, my career is over, but who cares? I didn't have the, I'm Steven Spielberg. It's not, but when you tackle some of these, you just know it's going to get really quiet out there.
Yeah. So I think that's probably a good point to ask this question that I often ask people when they're doing work like yourself. What is that cost to pursue the truth, right? We can all say we know the truth, but in all honesty, if we're being humble, we don't know what the full version of the truth is, but we can all aim and aspire to seek it out. In your case, your version of the truth has likely come with a cost. What is that cost, and how do you continue to keep yourself on that path of pursuing the truth?
Yeah, and I'll tell you two answers to that question, or two questions. One you didn't ask, and as you talk about truth, I did a series 5 or 6 years ago on stem cells. And the experts I was interviewing, we were talking about stem cells that come, mesenchymal stem cells that come from umbilical cords. And we, the experts then said, you get these injected, they become part of your body. They become the tissue that you need and it fixes the, and then we included stem cells in the truth about medicine. And I'm interviewing new experts. And they say, now we know these mesenchymal stem cells don't take residence in your body. They're transient. And within 90 days, they're cleared out. Same way, if you got a kidney from somebody and didn't take drugs to avoid rejecting it, it would be rejected. They trigger a healing cascade, but they don't take residence. So I was filming what I thought was the truth 6 years ago. And when the first expert said this, I had to go research and Grok still said they take residence. Like that's, but that's old data. They, it turns out they don't. So even when you're going after the truth, it doesn't mean it is the truth.
Right.
But, so with that caveat, I was censored. I was banned. I used to spend $100,000 a month on Facebook buying ads for my films. And they wouldn't take my money anymore. I couldn't post. I couldn't. When I was doing The Real Anthony Fauci, one of my editors sent me a 10-minute segment on his private password-protected YouTube account for me to review, not public-facing. By the time I got home to look at the footage, it had been taken down for violating YouTube's policy just from having Bobby Kennedy's face on it. The algorithm picked it up. And now that he's Secretary of Health and Human Services, now that we're no longer being censored, now we have a chance to really get the word out. And that's what's so important. And the reason I wanted these MAHA films out there is while we've got this window of opportunity to get people exposed to as much of this as we can.
Absolutely. And obviously, you've spent a lot of time digging into some of these things, and if not just the medical side of things, but other political aspects too. Is there at this point anything that surprises you anymore as an investigator? Like,
they're seldom do. Yeah. Interviewed a woman who wrote a book on Monsanto. She wrote the book. She was a reporter for Reuters, and was covering agriculture. And so Monsanto was one of the companies she covered. And in the 90s, they loved her. She would write. And in about 2001, some negative stuff, research started coming out about glyphosate. And so she wrote about that. And then she ended up becoming an enemy of Monsanto and how they attacked her. And prior to that, she knew the president of the company. She knew the, and I watched how that company attacked her when she was no longer telling, you know, the party line, and really went after her, and from a PR standpoint. And it's amazing to me that once you get firmly entrenched where you're a big company's income is dependent, like I'm amazed by the Sackler family, the death and destruction that they caused. I was at a party, Academy Award party in Deer Valley, where a friend of mine won an Academy Award, and somebody was talking to me about opiates. Their daughter had become addicted and they had a cure for her and they wanted me to know about it. And I said something about the Sackler family, and another friend of mine elbowed me and goes, shh. I go, what? She goes, that's one of the Sackler daughters right there. Mm. And I thought, wow, I'm supposed to edit myself because this billionaire who's made billions from misery and destruction is in the room. And it's like, what the heck is this person doing in the room with us?
Mm.
And so us turning a blind eye, I am always shocked when I see something that I believe, this somebody has actually gone bad. This is a mm-hmm. bad being. And that's always shocking to me.
But throughout history, we could see that does happen, right? Greed, envy, lust, it can misdirect all of us.
It's supposed to be out there, not, and this is where we all have to check the mirror every day.
Mm-hmm.
I like where Bobby Kennedy every day, he says he gets up and he says prayers every morning, and he gets up and says, okay, reporting for duty, sir. That's who I want to be. I want to report for duty every day and be able to look in the mirror and go, okay, that I'm happy with the person looking back at me.
Absolutely. So you've talked about the film. It's coming out on the 24th, and there's a period of time where it's going to be available for free to watch. Why is that important? Why make it free for people to see it?
You know, when people do pay for it, because they pay with their time.
Mm-hmm.
And I want it to be worth people's time by making it free. People don't like to share stuff that are going to cost their friends money. And we want people to share it. We want it to spread widely. We want the word out there. Amazingly, about 5% of the people, when I release them for free like this on a website, and by the way, it's at mahamovie.com is where people mm-hmm. can go and see the film. But when I release them for free like this, about 5% of the people who watch it buy it. Mm. And so I get to live in this, they buy what they just watched for free because they wanted to own it. And so I live in this beautiful paradox of the more I give away, the more money I make. Mm. And all I have to focus on is making a great film that people want to share.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. So you've shared that it's available on mahamovie.com if people yeah. were interested to check it out. And February 24th, and for 2 weeks, it'll be available for free, and then people yep. can purchase it.
Yep.
Okay. Awesome.
Well, we did this with the first one, Toxic Nation, Maha Films, Toxic Nation. And then now it's going to be coming out in June on the Angel Studios Network. So mm-hmm. it'll be behind a paywall, and then we'll get to make some money on it. But we like to release them for free first.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your hope for the nation as you're talking about here? You're trying to educate people. You're trying to bring awareness to the forefront. What is your hope moving forward here?
Yeah, my little corner of the world is like, I don't want to affect billions of people. I just want to extend my circle of affection as far as I can. And if I can make my part of the world a better place by moving people in the right direction, it's, hey, let's significantly reduce our processed food. Let's significantly reduce our use of drugs. Let's have better relationship, exercise, sunshine, and the boring yeah. stuff. If yes. we can move some number of people toward that, then my life was a win.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Jeff, if listeners want to learn more about all the work you've been doing, we already shared the link to the movie. We'll put that in the show notes so people can access it from there. But What are some other ways they can learn more about you, your work, and other future projects that you'll be releasing?
Yeah, my website is probably boring because it's just about me and my stuff, but it's jeffhayesfilms.com. And I'm most excited about these four Maha films. This is the second one. Mm-hmm. And so we'll have these out over the next year. And so if they keep an eye on MahaFilms.com and MahaMovie.com, they'll be able to keep up with what we're doing.
All right. Awesome. We'll share all of that. Anything, last words you want to share with the audience that we haven't touched on yet?
No, I can't believe I talk so much that I probably will run out of gas for the rest of the day. So thanks for letting me talk so much.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thank you for coming on. It was a pleasure to chat with you today.
Thank you.
Thank you for checking out this episode with Jeff. As always, please subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube. That's the best and easiest way to support this podcast. And on Apple and Spotify, you can leave up to a 5-star review. Please check out the sponsors in the description, as well as the Easy Reflections newsletter, a zero-cost newsletter that goes out weekly where I explore different mental health topics and provide practical tips and insights for the reader. The link to the newsletter can be found in the show note captions where you can subscribe directly. Thank you again, and until next time.